Welcome to Chatterbox with your host, Alon and Sean. Alon and Sean will spend the next hour talking about the latest and greatest in the gaming world. And now here's your host, Alon and Sean.
That's singular, baby. One person is both Alon and Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Chase is like, we're going to make fun of his new opener. We are. All right, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio here on the new KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Thank you very much for joining us today. I want to remind everybody that you are free, welcome, and even encouraged to call into the show. If you're in the Phoenix area, just call us at 602-277-KFNX. And if you're listening on the internet, check out our website. We've got a toll-free 866 number on there. You can call us anytime during the show. And I'm going to give you a question right now. Feel free to call in and answer this one because I'm curious how everybody feels about this. There's been talk about this next generation of machine, all the new consoles coming out, the PS3, the Xbox 2, and the next Nintendo machine, right? They're saying that games are costing so much to make these days that we might be paying $60 a game instead of $50 a game as your generic starting price. I want to hear how people feel about this, if they think it's, I don't know if anyone's going to think it's a good idea, but like if you think it's fair, if you think it shouldn't happen, what's the deal? And then we'll talk more about, you know, how I feel about that in just a minute. So Sean, welcome back for another week. Sean's our new official co-host.
That's right. Official now.
Yeah, can you hear the excitement in his voice?
Oh, yeah.
I can. All right. So, for those of you paying attention to our website and who get our newsletter, you know that we've got quite a few things to talk about today. Microsoft has a new alternate reality game like they did I Love Bees with the release of Halo 2, or the pre-release of Halo 2, right? So we can talk about that. Nintendo's got viral marketing going on now that I still haven't mentioned, even though it's been a couple weeks. I want to talk about physics. I want to talk about advertising in games. There's a whole bunch of stuff. But usually we start off the show just by talking about the games that we've been playing lately, the past couple weeks. And Sean, I know, has some new games on the PSP, even though he's spending a lot of his time not playing games on the PSP.
I'm excited about this new game. I was super excited before I ever got it. I mean, just the idea of it was cool. It's a Marble Madness type game. It's called Mercury. Archer McLean's Mercury.
Who's Archer McLean?
I have no idea, but his name's prominently displayed on every screen you see. So I think he did something cool.
I think he made a sandwich for McDonald's once.
He might have done that. And you're a ball of mercury, as the title implies. It's a Marble Madness kind of a monkey ball type of game where you roam around and you tip the world back and forth and your little ball of mercury moves. Now, that's cool in and of itself, but the fact is you can actually manipulate the mercury so that when you run into a wall or a split screen or a split in a wall, it'll split your ball into multiple pieces of mercury. So you want to try and keep as much of your mercury on the planet as possible because you're going to need a certain amount to pass each world. And also, there's these things called paint shops. You run into a paint shop and your ball of mercury changes colors. Now, if you have two different balls of mercury, you can run into two different paint shops and they change into, say, red or blue and yellow. And then if you run your ball back into each other, it'll turn into green because of the obvious mechanics of color theory, which I know nothing about. So there's a couple puzzles to do with that, but mostly it's just a lot of fun moving around a ball of mercury. And the game is absolutely gorgeous. I think it takes advantage of more of the stuff that the PSP is supposed to be able to do very powerfully, whereas most of the first games were just, we got some polygons, we got some stuff, but there's some neat reflection mapping, and the crazy physics on this Mercury is incredible.
So is it basically like playing the old handheld, the table game Labyrinth?
It's kind of like that, except that it's more than that, because now when you paint your ball of Mercury, you have to get certain colors to open certain switches, and when you open these switches, certain other things happen. There's laser beams, and they have some little escalator or moving type of things where you get your ball of mercury on it and go. And one of my favorite ones is this one moves super fast, so as soon as you hit it, your ball of mercury goes flying across the level and the little droplets, and then it hits a wall and you hear a big splat, and then it comes all back together.
So are you spending more of your time playing this or Lumines?
I haven't spent a huge amount of time doing anything, but Mercury is my top game right now. I still want to play a lot of Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear Acid also, but it's hard to get into that because I'll spend 2 hours, get into a point in the game, and then I'll get totally hosed by some random part of the game that it's a card game. So
I really want to try this Mercury thing. I don't have any sort of explanation for why you didn't bring in your PSP today. But I guess you know why you would keep me from playing it.
It's because I didn't want you to see it.
Okay.
I wanted to keep my little ball of mercury to myself.
Right on. So this week I got a new game for the Xbox, which nobody's been talking about, right? And I'm not going to talk that much about it because it's not that fantastic. But Spy versus Spy.
Oh, I wanted to hear about that game.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us?
That should bring smiles to some people's faces, right? Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine came out on the Xbox and I think all the other systems this past week. It's only $20, and knowing that, it's a pretty good game. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to be playing like you do Halo 2. But the problem was that we had four people. We were playing split screen, right? And so you're like one blue, one red, one black, and one white spy. And so even though the screen's small, we still were able to do it. The concept behind this, we thought we were just deathmatching when we started off, but our game type was actually called Modern. And I was a little upset at that because it doesn't explain at all. You know, Modern doesn't tell me what I'm doing. Deathmatch is fairly straightforward. Kill the other people. But we're playing Modern. Now, this is like, it's hard to describe in words, but the arenas are built so, like, you've got one central area where you would more than likely come into contact with the other spies, and you have, you know, like, a club or a machine gun or a few different weapons to beat up other people, right? A slingshot, that sort of thing. You also can put traps on doors, so when they open a door, they get killed, right? And a little ghost rises up, and they start again at the beginning of their area. And so you can also get a safe trap, a safe as in, like, you know, a place where you keep valuable stuff. And so you can get, like, a 900-pound gorilla or a boxing glove or a taser or something. And so the goal in the Modern game type is that you all start off in your little area where you can buy new weapons and armor and stuff, and then you go into the main central arena. And from there, there's all these branches off into other areas, four or five different areas. Now, each one of these, you go through various perils of avoiding, you know, traps and other things that can attack you, right? And when you get to the end of it, there's a little room with a bunch of safes. And so you open up each of these safes until you find a gadget. And the point is to find all four gadgets in the world, which are all in the different branches of the levels. And then once you have all four, you can escape in some escape pod or balloon or whatever. In the last branch. But you go get one of these things, and then you go to the next world. Meanwhile, someone else has gone there already and laid a trap in the safe so that when you open one of the safes to look for the gadget, you get killed, lose your gadget, they come and get it. And so, like, it's this back and forth of getting the gadget, losing the gadget, killing the guy who has your gadget until you get all of them and you can escape. So it's sort of like a new twist on the deathmatch style game. I thought it was kind of neat. Especially just because you can backstab.
Seems kind of neat, because in the Spy versus Spy world, I'm expecting you to create some elaborate traps to really kill your spy.
Well, that's where it failed. That's what I didn't like about it. We played this one level for like half an hour, and another level for not as long, because we knew what we were doing the second time around. But, like, you can't really build elaborate traps. It's either you have the trap in the safe or the trap on the door, and that was, like, it. And so, again, like, cool for $20, but...
Have you had a chance to play the single-player portion of the game?
No, I just played the multiplayer with these guys.
See, I would like... I mean, in a Spy versus Spy game, I want to come up with, like, points for ingenious traps, not just trying to kill the other guy.
There were also, like, booby traps. You could pull a switch on the wall, and then if someone walked in a certain area, they'd get killed, but...
Did you ever play Spy versus Spy on the regular Nintendo?
You know, I played it, but not much, because if I recall, it wasn't very good.
Because it sounds just like that one, and that one was fun when you were playing against people. You put traps behind paintings, and you're trying to find the money, you're trying to find a key, and you're trying to find the passport to get out of...
Yeah, it is a very similar game, but it's done a little better now, because I think the worlds can be larger,
okay.
All the 3D and the new technology and stuff. So, it was neat, but the lack of... trapping and booby trapping options was what sort of bummed me out a bit. Like Sean mentioned, he would have wanted more types of things to do. And maybe in other levels there's more stuff, or in the single player, but in the multiplayer it was fairly simplistic, although it still took us like 35 minutes to finish the first level. Which was like we ended up working together. It's like, oh, you got this gadget? Okay, good, so I won't go get that gadget. And then we could just kill each other until someone got all of them. Alright, so that's enough of Spy versus Spy. All right, we've got a couple more minutes, right? Good. So before we go out to break, here's a small news bit, and we'll get into our bigger discussions when we come back from the break. I don't know if you read this, Sean. We've talked before about kids doing stupid things, video game related
violence. That's one of our favorite things, I think.
We do like to talk about it. And I always love to talk about strategies and then, or tragedies, excuse me, and then laugh about them. So here you go. In Florida recently, some idiot reported on another idiot. So here's what happened. Little kid, 14 years old, is playing Def Jam Vendetta with his four-year-old cousin or nephew or someone else in his family who's not his brother. So they're playing Def Jam Vendetta, and there's also a two-year-old in the house. Now, here's why I say the reporter's an idiot, because he wrote the whole article, and I still have no idea who it was that got hurt here, if it was the two- or the four-year-old. But the 14-year-old is in trouble for beating up somebody by reenacting the Def Jam Vendetta moves when his grandma wasn't home to take care of them, right?
Oh, man, that is brutal.
Yeah, just basically beat the crap out of this kid. And so they call grandma, and they're like, hey, the little guy hurt himself on a bathroom, on like a bathtub faucet or something. He ran into it, right? So he's got a busted eye. Grandma comes home, and this is what's great. According to the article, it says, but when Edwards returned home, she discovered the child also had a bloody and bruised lip, scrapes across the face, and fingernail scratches on his chest. Now that, not so funny, right? Kid's hurt, a little bit beat up, probably defenseless and helpless, whether or not it is the two- or the four-year-old. Here's the best part, though. Continuation of this article, as well as a bruised spleen.
Oh, wow. I like how she noticed that he had a bruised
yeah.
spleen.
Now, Tracy, you have kids. Have you ever come home and go, oh my God, thank goodness your spleen is okay. I thought you might have a bruised spleen.
I'm going to go home and check as soon as I get off. Right, let me call. Check their spleen.
How does grandma come home and notice that her little kid has a bruised spleen? I have no idea. But this is the wonderful reporting of some Florida reporter.
Let's call my family on air. How's your spleen?
Right. So, sorry kid got beat up. That's a bummer. And luckily, the kid is in detention now, like youth detention. Grandma also neglect, apparently,
yeah,
is in jail.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't there. You would think so.
Yeah, but, you know, kids babysit at 14. It's acceptable these days. They do that.
This kind of brings up one of my favorite games that I saw recently. I don't know if you saw this one. It was at the Nintendo booth at the GDC this year. They had a video, and we don't even know what the game was, but it was two little kids beating the crap out of each other. It wasn't like they were like the super deformed Japanese characters. These were two little kids, and there was adults that you could play as too, but you could literally play as like a 35-year-old beating the crap out of like some little 8-year-old kid.
In a Nintendo brand game or a game for a Nintendo
system? It was displayed pretty prominently in the Nintendo booth. It was alongside Killer 7 and those type of games, but it was all part of their...
This is one of those instances. Every time I go to E3 or GDC, the friends I'm with always go and check out this stuff, all this cool stuff, and they don't tell me about it when I'm there, so I miss it. And then they tell me about it later. I'm like, what the hell? Why didn't you tell me about that game? All right, I want to know more about what that is, but we probably won't be able to figure it out. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute after these messages. Call us at 602-277-KFNX. Tell me what you think about the possibility of paying more for your game soon. We'll be right back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on the new KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
We're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with me, Alon, and Sean is here. All right, so we were talking about a bunch of stuff.
Unfortunately, we couldn't find out the name of that fighting game. But if there are any producers out there listening, all of your listeners and fellow game players want a game called maybe Schoolyard Bully or something, where it's a bunch of kids standing around beating each other up. Go out there and make it. I'm sure it won't cause any controversy at all.
I'm still liking the Little League Baseball idea, where you're winning the game and two parents will start fighting, and if you lose the if your parent loses the fight, then the
you
other team gets
ground in the
game. Did you see the new South Park? That basically that was the entire premise.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's not where I got it.
No, I have not. I probably have it on my new DVR box.
All right. So in South Park, they're playing Little League and they agree that the game is boring and lame, like baseball is, you know. And so then they win, right? And they say, oh, great, you get to go to the postseason. They're like, oh, God damn it. And they have to go play.
Actually, this is the one I have on DVR. I haven't seen it yet, though.
Yeah, they have to go play more. And meanwhile, Kyle's dad or Stan's dad, somebody's dad, always gets in a fight in the stands with another parent all the time. And so, like, he's training, like, Rocky to, you know, for his next big fight, even though he gets taken away by the police every time. And
I think this could be great. I think the baseball portion of the game would be completely separate. Like, you don't even control that part, and you have to upgrade your parents so that your parents are actually better fighters and they have hit points and stuff like that.
Yeah, that could be good. We'll write up the game docs and pitch it to nearby game developers. All right, so, you know, yay to the 14-year-old who beat up his little cousin or something. Good going. Florida apparently is really churning out the Wizards. Tracy was telling me that the last kid who we talked about beat up, killed somebody wrestling or something, was from Florida, too.
I'm pretty sure they were Florida. I think there's got to be something in the
correct.
Water. Yeah, let's not go to Florida anytime soon.
Yeah, stay away.
If you're from Florida, give us a call. Tell us
too
what's going on.
Too much controversy down there. Moisture's getting to their heads.
So I asked the question earlier of our listeners if how they feel about the possibility that they might be paying more for their games with this next generation, because people from EA and general industry folk or analysts have been saying that it's not such a strange idea to expect $60 games in the future as a standard. And so I have mixed feelings about this.
Let me throw my input into this. I don't think it's a big deal at all. You look, how many people out there spent $89 on Phantasy Star 3? I mean, it's been done in the past.
Who spent $90 on Phantasy Star 3?
That was the Phantasy Star game that was $90 when it first came out for the Sega
Genesis. Oh, old school. Yeah.
Old school. And the fact that games back then were that expensive, if not more, for most of the really top quality games, for many of the same reasons. Also, the hardware costs involved with the extra memory in it also.
Yeah, back when we used cartridges and needed that extra hardware.
But we do.
Well, not anymore.
No, we've got hard drives.
And CDs.
Yes.
Or DVDs. Optical media. So here's what I wanted to say. Similar thing, right? Like, people might bitch and whine that they're going to pay $60 a game, but I paid for Street Fighter 2 three times. Not only did I buy the game for $75 the first time it came out, I was like, oh, same game with four new characters? Sure, here's another $75. Wait a second. Another four characters?
See,
$75.
I was the smart one who went to Target, and when the guy left the glass open, just grabbed it and said, haha. But
yeah.
I don't recommend that either.
Yeah, Sean was really cool when he was younger.
I was a very bad kid. Anyways, I can see your point on that. I just don't want to see game companies like EA making a $60 game. I want to see if somebody out there is making a game that's only going to sell 200,000 units, and to break even or to just barely make a profit, they're going to need to put this at $60. I don't want to see a Capcom or a Midway pushing out a $60 game.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my concern, because it could become the standard, but at the same time, we were paying $50 for a lot of NES games and Super Nintendo games, and so inflation exists, and theory says it would cost more.
But if you look at right now, at least with Sony, they have a number of $40 AAA titles coming out, and I think the fact that they know they're going to be pushing 4 or 5 million units, they can take a cut on that.
And well, that's the issue. Although games could cost more because of inflation, well, now you're selling your game to millions of people instead of hundreds of thousands, or just thousands.
Exactly.
So there's an excuse for it to not cost more. Anyway, we've got a caller on the line. Let's hear what he or she has to say. Hey there, you're on Chatterbox. Who's this?
Hello?
Is this Rick?
How's it going?
Pretty well. I can barely hear you.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosives.
Something stupid apparently. Do we still have him on the line, or should I turn him off? Okay, cool. Right on. Well, thanks for calling. maybe next time we'll hear what he has to say so we can make more fun of it.
He was playing Napoleon Dynamite clips.
Oh, is that
it? Oh.
See, I don't recognize it enough, but I saw it. I saw the movie.
It's a great movie.
Napoleon Dynamite. Movie. Would that make a good game?
Yes. Because okay. There's really no point to the movie. I mean, there's the point.
You got to get Pedro elected. That's.
Oh, that'd be great.
And you do Dance Dance Revolution at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tracy loves it when people inject Dance Dance Revolution style minigames.
I think they should just have it in life. You can get out of a speeding ticket if you can do DDR. And...
It just makes me sad because I'm frustrated in trying to do these DDR minigames, and an alarm comes up and pulls off a perfect 10 in 2004 Summer Olympics or something like that.
All right, so I want to get back to topic here because I think this is an interesting discussion here. Give us a call at 602-277-KFNX or call us toll-free. The number's on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. I should mention that. The new pricing of games may happen, may not, right? So people are selling millions of games. Maybe $50 a game is good enough. People are selling games now for $20, and it's happening a lot these days.
So are we going to have to pay $40 for a budget title?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's a concern. I mean, what do you think Katamari Damacy 2 is going to be? Do you think it's going to be $50?
It got picked up by a huge company, so why not?
It's already developed by a huge company. It's Namco from the beginning.
People like it. I think it should still be $20.
So it's being released in Japan for like $45 or $50.
Okay.
All right, so I wonder if that's going to translate into $50 American when it releases here.
I'm thinking maybe $40. Because you double it. If you go more than double, then people are going to be like, hey, I'll just still buy the original. What can they add to that game?
I think they're adding a lot to it, is from what I heard. They're making a much more complete game out of it.
Yeah, they could. But, I mean, at the same time, the R&D is gone, so it doesn't cost that much to make the second one.
I saw a great article this week that was talking a little bit about Katamari, and it was talking about how there is no more innovation in games. And they say, well, what about Katamari Damacy? Because, you know, that's the most innovative game that's come out in a long time, and he lists 400 different reasons why it's not, and I tend to agree with him.
Why it's not innovative?
Why it's not innovative. He's like, well, I've played that game before. It's this game, it's that game, and it's that game.
Well, that's the thing. I really like the game, like everybody else, but I was never one to start saying it was incredibly innovative.
Well, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's so innovative, just because it's wacky and weird, and it's not what you expect from a video game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's innovation. That's just being Japanese.
It was new and fun. And I have to say, I may have at one time on the show said that it was innovative, but...
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I think I meant to say it was just new and fun. Somebody go check up our archives and decide if I'm lying or not. But it was a fun game, and I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the second one pricing-wise. But, I mean, if people remember back in the Super Nintendo days, you were paying $60 for games all the time. Even on Nintendo 64 for Killer Instinct 2 or Killer Instinct Gold. That was, I think, a $75 game when it came out. And, I mean, they claimed that cartridges legitimized those higher prices because cartridges have higher fees associated with them, right?
Correct.
Just, you know, because it can cost $15 to produce a cartridge with all the memory and stuff in it.
And then they had double the memory to have something like Street Fighter or Phantasy Star.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, legitimately cost an extra $20 or something. But nowadays, it's all about the development cost. It has nothing to do with capacity because a disc costs them 5 cents. So... You know, where's the extra money going to go to? Where's it going to come from, or the requirement? Anyway, if people want to talk about it, like I said, lines are open, 602-277-KFNX. And if you want to prank us, maybe we'll hear you out next time. I don't know. Depends on Tracy's mood. All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes after the news. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
We're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, with Sean and myself, Alon. All right, so I was talking about the price of games. We got a caller. I don't know if that's what he wants to talk about, but this is Levi from L.A. Levi, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey. All right, so what's on your mind?
Well, I mean, I think the thing with the price of games is that it's all going to come down to perceived value. Because you think about it, remember how much games were, for instance, on the NES? They were $30, and that was fairly, you know, reasonable at the time, because, you know, the games were in pretty limited scope, though.
I don't actually recall any games being $30 on release. I remember all $40 and $50. Am I too young?
I think so.
But I was there from the dawn of the NES.
I think that's our parents being like, I just spent $70,000 on this game, you better play it.
Oh, yeah, it was them telling me it was that much?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, so keep going, Levi.
No, I mean, so I think it's going to come down just to people think that they're getting $60 worth. I mean, for instance, there are a couple of games that just came out, this year, say, like Resident Evil 4 or God of War. Those actually, if you told me that those games were going to be $60, I wouldn't have blinked. I would have had no problem. If you have, like, a baseball game, though, or if you have, like, a basic racing game, and EA tried to tell you, sorry, you know, development costs, it's going to be $60. I think people are going to balk. I think that an excellent example of that right now is the pricing of the of software for the PSP. Some of those games are $40 and $50, and they're not moving because that's the same price for a console game.
That's one of the reasons that I don't have my own PSP.
Well, PSP, Sony's coming out and saying, we've sold, you know, so many units, we're doing so great. And I hear the rest of the industry saying, you didn't sell very much at all.
Yeah, along the same lines, though, the people who made the Gizmondo also say they sold a lot of units. So let's keep this thing, keep
it
in perspective.
Those first week numbers finally came out for the PSP, and they said, you know, we sold 600,000 units. So that means that there's 400,000 floating around, and most of them are, like, at Targets and Walmart's, where the system really had no business being a $250 system at a discount retailer. They should just move them all over to EBs or GameStops or pull them back so that they can do that whole forced false shortage thing to drum up interest again.
I think it was pretty interesting, the fact that all of the EB games and stuff around me sold out, and I actually had back orders of people, but I went to Best Buy, they had 100 units. I went to Target, they still had 50 units.
Well, the irony here is I bet that the games that aren't selling well are the ones that are selling well at places like Target and Best Buy.
No, that's not true, because Ridge Racer has been sold out everywhere. No matter which store I went to, it was sold out. And I think they probably...
Yeah, but, like, if you go to EB, are you going to find the Spider-Man game that nobody wants? Yeah, I'll bet you they're selling more Spider-Mans at Target than they are at EB.
Well, yeah.
Right. That was the point I was trying to make, although I don't know if it's that much of a point to make.
I think we have a much more conscious consumer for these type of games.
For the PSP, I think you're absolutely right. But then the times come with the new big consoles,
well,
which is what I'm worried about.
One specific reference, I was at Target looking at the PSP after I'd already bought mine, but there was a huge interest in the PSP. There was all these little kids around just saying, ooh, that's the coolest thing, and I saw no less than four moms buy DSs and be like, oh yeah, that's cool, and then walk straight over to the Nintendo side and buy the thing that they know, the thing that their kid has been asking them for the past 6 months.
Well, because Nintendo, who essentially has created the American handheld market, knows the sweet spot for handheld games, and that's $30.
Yeah,
that's the value.
All picked up a SpongeBob game or a Yu-Gi-Oh game along with their new DS.
And they're right. I don't want to pay that much for a handheld game, pay $50. But then again, I know that Sean sits at home and plays Lumines and Mercury and, you know, Metal Gear Acid just as if he were playing a console game. So that argument can also be made that the $40 or $50 game is
legitimate. Well, the places I can play it, too, are also amazing. I mean, the fact that I don't have to be sitting in front of my TV, I can be sitting in any other numerous spots that I like to sit at.
Sean really likes soaking in the bathtub.
Actually, I do.
Yeah, so...
That's a hell of an image, actually. You know, who I think actually stands to do the... As game prices creep up to $60, and as handheld games creep up to $40 and $50... Who I think stands to do the best right now out of all this are actually do both of you guys have cell phones?
Yes, I do.
I don't, but you know, I'm not foreign to the idea of a cell phone.
Does your cell phone play games?
Not as well as I'd hope to, but yes.
Your cell phone plays games that are only like $4 or $5.
I love it because I got Worms for it, and when I'm waiting 5 minutes for the movie to start, I flip out my phone and I play Worms with the person next to me.
That's who I think is going to stand to benefit from the increase of console and handheld gaming prices. There are those people that make those cell phone games. It's $4 for a game that you can get maybe 90 minutes of enjoyment out of, but $4 for 90 minutes, I mean...
Well, I find it really interesting. I don't know if you heard John Carmack has gotten into making cell phone games now.
Yeah, he's working on his Doom RPG.
And I find it interesting that little companies like this can be like, oh yeah, I'm going to throw together a cell phone game because I can.
Well, programmers find it exciting because you don't have, you know, incredible graphics or incredible sound that you can use as a crutch. You have to actually come up with a solid concept that's going to interest somebody.
It's back to the old days of Atari when it was one or two people making a game, right? And so they have full control over this game. And it doesn't matter because, okay, if they sell 10 copies and it doesn't work, they didn't invest 3 years of their life in it. And if it does sell well, then great. They made a lot of money on something that didn't take them a lot of time.
Exactly.
And they don't have to...
No, go ahead.
They don't have to spread that money around to, you know, the 50 people who developed it and their publisher and all that.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Also,
you
the
paused and I, you know.
Yeah, the distribution requirements, of course, on cell phones are, it's just a lot less overhead. You don't have
Well,
to
the great thing is it's running on, most of them are running on Java virtual machines. So you don't have to have a certain cell phone generally to play a game. You can create one game. It's running on this Java virtual machine, and everybody can play it.
Yeah, the cost of entry into the cell phone market is one of the things I think is most appealing to developers. But you go ahead, Levi.
Well, just I guess one thing, there are a few games. Handset, you know, mobile gaming is actually getting fairly advanced right now. There's a company called Gameloft, who is very closely associated with Ubisoft. And so they make handheld handset versions of, like, Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory, Prince of Persia, Warrior Within. These are actually creeping right up to Game Boy quality games, not Game Boy Advance, but Game Boy quality games, and they're like $4. They're $5. And you can seriously play those games for 2 to 3 hours. And you're getting a reasonable approximation of like a Game Boy experience. And I think that's going to be the incredible value. And I think that people are going to start turning towards more budget-minded options. When confronted with a $60 game, because the games themselves, from the look of it, from what we've seen pre-E3 and from the occasional, hey, look at what we can do next time around, do you see anyone talking about exciting new game concepts? No. Your $60, that extra $10, is just making it prettier. They're not giving you anything new. They're not giving you anything different. They're giving you a football player where, wow, you can actually see the sweat bead on his forehead. Well, ding, dang, do I? That's fantastic. It's still a football game.
Well, thanks to Microsoft, we will only get that sweat if we buy it as a microtransaction extra. So,
are you guys all excited to see the 360 in a couple weeks?
I'm pretty excited. I'm starting to get involved in the OurColony.net experience, mm-hmm. and it's kind of neat getting my I saw a little button and. I think they're doing a pretty good job to create a good hype around it.
I'm personally very excited about it because I remember back, like, before the Xbox was officially announced, they showed everything it could do. I thought, it's a stupid Microsoft console or whatever. But then I've consistently been amazed by everything Microsoft has to say every year in, you know, gaming news since then. And so now that they have an actual new product to launch, I'm kind of excited to, because I know I'm going to be surprised, which obviously means I don't know what's coming. So I'm happy to see what that is. And they also do a pretty good job of buying me off pretty much every time I see them. So we got to get going. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks a lot for calling, Levi. This is KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 with Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technologies graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
I can never get enough of our awesome bumper music. This is good stuff.
I'll do what I can.
This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with myself, Alon, and Sean. Sean.
Hi.
Oh, look, he's there. All right, so I'm done talking about the price of games. If anybody else wants to call and spread their, I don't know, goodwill or hatred about it, whatever, our lines, again, open 602-277-KFNX, or you can call us toll-free. Numbers on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. Some other things to talk about, and we only have about 10 minutes left. Microsoft has started their OurColony.net alternate reality game, which is sort of similar to their I Love Bees game.
Have you checked this out at all? Have you gone to the website and actually got in?
I went to the website, but it just said, hey, our colony's growing, you can't get in.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the problems is it's growing ridiculous, and any part of the day the servers are just completely unstable. I got on the site and actually was able to start playing the game. And unfortunately, the colony I got into is so huge that any time a new question or anything comes up, people jump all over it and have already solved the question. But they have some really interesting things going on. To start with, they present a page and they say all this cryptic speak, and they drop you to four or five different pages, and they say, this isn't a reality game. This is reality. And then they go through all this stuff and they say, you play this. If you do that, you know, you need to play and play and play and play.
But how do you play it? Is it flash based or just?
No. It's all cryptic questions. And to start with, you have to even break a code to get in. And there's a little submit box, and you type something into it and you try and get a password into the world. And so, if you put the wrong password in, it says, I've already given you enough information. You should be able to solve the question. Go back and look again. And if you notice in the first – I don't even know if I should say this. I don't know if I should give away the secret.
Don't.
I'm not going to. Well, if you look in the first couple paragraphs, they show some stuff that kind of correlates with each other, and then you put it together and you get a password into the world. Then once you get into the world, there is teams. It's a team-based game, obviously, with colonies. And you have to have a password to get into certain colonies. I happen to get into one of the larger colonies because I'm a member of their little group of people. And when I say little group, there's like 60,000 of us as part of this team.
I saw a website that advertised their colony.
Avatar or something like that.
Yeah. So you'll be able to, if you, you know, visit a lot of gaming websites, I'm sure they've got a colony going. You can join in.
Yeah. So it's kind of neat. And they come up with little questions. One of them, it gave a number. And then it had quote marks, and it said last of. And so you're like, okay, I don't really understand. Well, what some people did was they went online, they looked up that number, and that number more than likely came up with like 20 different things for this one book. It was an ISBN number for this book. And then it had quotation marks and last of. So people were like, okay, well, maybe it's such and such, such and such. But what it came down to was the last quote of this book. So people actually had to go out to a bookstore, pick up this book, look into the last page, find the last quote, and then they type it into the thing, and then they get that question correct, and they get bonus points for doing that.
That's absurd.
Now, when you get bonus points, you get little snippets of stuff that's going on. Like when I completed a question, it came up and it's like, you get this, and it was a little picture of what is supposedly a button from the new Xbox controller.
A button? You mean just the control pad? So far, I've seen the two pictures that they showed.
They actually have put together an entire control pad now. The entire it looks kind of weird. I'm not so happy with what it looks like. I'm hoping it's not the official gamepad is just an in-development thing, but they dropped the black and white buttons. Yeah. They may or may not be on the top.
They've talked about dropping the black and white for a long time.
The actual buttons you play with seem to be higher up, so they might be harder to reach, but we'll see what actually happens with it. It's all white, also.
I saw a picture of it somewhere. It's wireless, right? And I saw a picture of it somewhere. I didn't realize it was from the Our Colony website, but it shows, you know, basically very similar, sort of a mix of, like, the large and the small Xbox controller.
And unfortunately, there's been a lot of people out there with joke type things that they've been putting together.
Yeah, this one looked fairly real, but it did look like a prototype controller. My issue is that, yeah, they dropped the black and the white buttons, and I'm curious because, like, I'm a fan of
I've heard rumors that they've been putting them on the top.
I like your Street Fighter style games, you know, that use six fighting buttons. And so even though normal games don't use them much, a lot of the first-person shooters and stuff have used black and white for sort of alternate purposes, you know, to turn on your flashlight or stuff that you don't do too often. So I think it's good to have them there. But, you know, Microsoft fights against Apple all the time in, you know, every area of technology, and they see that Apple does well simplifying and, you know, spreading their market by simplifying and getting
rid
of black and white.
That's why I
like
my iPod so much, is I don't have to go through 400 different menus and all this crazy stuff. I got a little wheel and I touch a button and I'm there.
Yeah, so marketing wise, getting rid of black and white might help out. I don't know. I think people are pretty used to having that many buttons in the controller anyway.
Well, back to the whole Our Colony site, I think it's really great. This is a way to get little snippets of information out there. And obviously, they're counting down to a couple days before what E3 is. And most people are saying they're going to release the first information on Xbox 2 about 2 or 3 days before E3 actually launches. And it's counting down to a day right in that same timeline. But they're also showing little snippets of stuff. They show the power button, a power button on the thing that most people are saying is going to be from Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm interested in is every single picture that we've seen is white, as if the system's going to be completely white.
Yeah, that makes sense. But they are also talking about having you get to, you know, personalize the system. So I think there's probably going to be some sort of face plating or color.
Well, they saw a lot of that going on its own. And it was one of their things that Microsoft was talking about, is the fact that people love to customize. This is the customization era, and they talked about with their micropayments and everything like that. But you look at it everywhere. You see people customizing their cars. They're putting freaking jewels on iPods. I mean, it's getting ridiculous, and people are going to want to do that.
So it would make sense to me that the base machine would be white, which is also a fad these days, especially after the iPod. And then you get to put on whatever color you want after that. So anyway, I like the idea of the Our Colony thing. I haven't looked into it as much as you have. Perhaps I don't have the patience for it, but I'll have to check it out, and maybe I'll get in next time. This all is sort of a discussion about viral marketing in general, right? People have figured out that this has helped build up hype for whatever product they have, right? And it's not – I don't think it's as much advertising cost to them.
Well, the thing I see is it's not so much for the mainstream. It's to keep us hardcore – people satiated with the things that are going to be coming on and give us a sense of relief. You know, we found out this crazy code and now we get this little button and it makes us feel all warm and
yeah, it's like playing a game already.
Exactly.
And now something that Nintendo has done in this whole viral marketing category, if anybody goes to the touchingisgood.com website, I actually just forgot to mention this last week, but Nintendo, I guess, mailed out thousands of mannequin hands.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird.
And they want people to go out and actually make videos with these hands.
Originally, it was just take pictures, but now there's videos on the website, too.
From what I heard, well, the first time I saw it, they were talking about videos. And you're supposed to make some sort of little 30-second, one-minute shorts with your hand in the most innovative ways. And then the winners, however you end up winning, get certain prizes.
I would like to develop a website with a lot of these submissions, the ones that Nintendo surely isn't wanting to show, because I think that would probably be a lot more interesting.
I'm sure there's some quite pornographic or otherwise disturbing images out there.
Yeah. But go to touchingisgood.com, see what Nintendo's doing. They've done a lot of this stuff. Like, after I Love Bees, they had I Love Everything That Rhymes With Bees. I Love Trees and I Love Wees and I Love Whatever was all... I think it was Metroid Prime 2.
Yeah, Metroid Prime 2 is pretty funny with that.
So they sort of caught on and are doing this. Nintendo's a little, like, they tighten their world of marketing. They're very controlling. if you call, you know, Nintendo PR people, it's always actually Nintendo rather than some company that they hired. And so you'll see less stuff from them, but it seems to be pretty creative.
I like
that
Microsoft is willing to go out on a limb. Bungie is very tight-knit with Nintendo, Microsoft, and they allow them to do all of these crazy little things like the red versus blue. And you see companies like Ubisoft that are really going out on a limb. Did you ever check out those Mega 64 videos?
No, because I don't.
Everybody go out and check out Mega 64 videos for Splinter Cell 3. Check it up on Google or something. You'll find them. They're hilarious, and they're along the lines of the Jackass videos, where you take real world people and you put them into situations and see how people react. So these guys go out and they put their Splinter Cell outfits on, and it's absolutely hilarious. This guy goes into a grocery store, buys all this food, and he's like, "Oh, I don't have any money." "Oh, what's that?" And he points away, and the girl turns around, and then he puts his spy goggles on, and he ducks down, and he starts creeping through the store like he's in the shadows and stuff, and he's rolling around on the ground and doing all these Splinter Cell moves. It's hilarious. You got to go and check it out.
All right, remind me, and I'll
I'd like to see companies making these type of pop culture out there type of things.
All right, that's our music. That's the end of the show today. There was so much other stuff I wanted to talk about, but we'll save it till next week.
Go out get Jade Empire this week.
I hear that's good, too.
It's getting great reviews, 9.9s and 10s across the board.
All right, well, we will be back next week. I hope that you all will be back with us next week for the latest in Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon and Sean on the new KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.